what's happening, what's going on in Sharkland. This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I would like to talk an old topic, how to rescue a person when the shark is still out there. In order to do that, you have to follow rules, and depending on the situation, you know, you may have a different kind of approach, but nevertheless, you have an approach, you have a way to rescue, and you can summarize that with basically four different pillars. They are in chronological order: situation, approach, contact, and rescue. After rescue, I sometimes add exit, but that really depends on the rescue. So overall, if you really need a mnemonic, and in my case I do, I call it SACRE, S-A-C-R-E. Whenever we hear about a bite, we hardly ever hear how the person got rescued. In most cases, I assume that the lifeguards use boards, jet skis, Zodiacs, or anything else that floats where a person can be lifted onto or pulled onto. But those items may not be available, and a more basic attempt is needed when the lifeguard has to swim out there and retrieve the victim. That this is nothing anybody wants to do should the water be murky, unruly, and cold, not to mention the presence of the shark must still be assumed, is fully understandable. Such a situation, such a rescue, needs a strong mind, determination, and one heck of a goal orientation. I've often been asked, how I would handle a worst-case scenario like this? No matter what, any rescue needs to follow procedure to cover all the bases. Otherwise, we just react to the situation without really thinking how to approach or how to do it best. Don't get me wrong, a determined person in many situations is all it needs, but who among us knows how we will react in such a situation where the mind is pushed to the limit? So anything that we can focus on is paramount. The more we can follow rules, the easier it's going to get. So here I'd like to give everybody an idea what I consider is the best approach to rescue a person should there be no jet skis or boats available, but only the pure determination and water skills of the rescuer. At the beginning, I mentioned the four pillars. Again, situation, approach, contact, and rescue. And, well, yeah, you can add exit as well as the fifth one. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of wiggle room among these four pillars, but the whole purpose of them is to not mentally jump around when realizing an incident and then go after the victim without a plan. Before anything else, you may not ask how to deal with the potential problem of facing the shark that may still be around the victim, or even worse, is somewhere between you as the rescuer from at the beach and the victim out there, and there's low visibility, so the shark is not seen and the dorsal fin is not visible, and on and on. So I think you see where the priority goes. Forget the idea that a shark takes off after a bite, as the rather idiotic bump and bite theory implies. It just does not happen. I talked a bit about this in episode 62. So I can pretty much guarantee that 1, the shark is still there, and 2, should the vis be low, the shark will remain close to the victim, and an encounter between you as the rescuer and the shark with it happens close to the victim, if at all. So, let's get started. The first pillar, situation. Getting out there is one thing, but doing it successfully is quite another. In this first phase, a rescuer has to understand where the victim is with regards to breaking waves, current, and such, then figure out the best way to get there and then enter the water. The most direct way may not be the best way, although that really seems logical. It most likely will not even really, not the best way. And I cannot emphasize this enough. Think before you act. Don't rush that part. It will make or break the rescue. So once you've figured out how you want to do it, then there's the second pillar, the approach. Swim steady and focus on the victim's position, which can change due to breaking waves and current. I understand that thoughts of, where's the shark? What might happen when he sees me? Will he come after me? And similar questions might be popping into your mind as the rescuer, but that needs to be pushed aside. Try to focus on the goal. I know, not an easy thing to do, but again, should the shark appear in front of the rescuer, it will be close to the victim, if at all. So basically, from the onset of a rescue, when you're swimming out there till you get contact, chances are the shark will be close at the end of your approach, right where the victim is. I swim in rocky waters with zero visibility and knew that whites were close by, I did not feel good. But then I tried to focus on my task and could not entirely shake off this feeling of being watched. But even when I stopped swimming and looked around, there was nothing. Granted, the vis was still about 4 or 5 meters, so I'm very much aware how these thoughts get a life of their own. But even with my example, you have to try to focus. I know, it's not an easy thing, and I would not have thought before I tried it that it would be that hard, but it's the only way to be successful. Mind you, the wavier the water, the more noise there is, then thus the hearing of an approaching person is not very likely for a shark. So chances are you won't see the shark until you are very close to the victim. And that fact helps. That fact helps to really approach in a very focused manner, and before you actually reach the victim, then you slow down, then you start looking around. This is when the third pillar, when contact happened. Once you're getting really close to the victim, make sure you stop actually swimming as soon as you can see the victim from below the surface. So that is maybe an issue of 15 feet, 5 meters or so. But once you see the victim, stop, look around, because if the shark still swims around, mills around the victim, this is when you're most likely going to see it. So stop and observe. Again, if a shark is still around, it will likely remain in visual range to the victim, because if a victim is close to breaking waves, it's a lot of noise. So once the shark loses sight of you, I'm not really sure if he can find you again. Of course, if the shark is able to use its exact position based on an Earth magnetic field, I mean, that would like be incredible, like does like a GPS thing, then of course it would not matter if he loses sight or not. But I sort of doubt that this is truly possible. But hey, who knows? So, and here, there's another thing coming into play. Remember, claim response? We talked about that one in episode 60. Yes? No? Well, this deals with the fact that the shark who bit a person sees the very person as its property should another person show up and getting close to the victim. The shark was there first, so he claims the person, the victim. Should the other person now try to move the victim, the rescuer of course, the shark likely tries to keep the victim with itself and starts to fight for it. The victim will then turn into the rope in a tug of war. I came across some of these incidents during my 20 years of helping the global shark attack file as an investigator. They are very sad events. I don't judge the rescuer for not knowing how to do it when the shark claims the victim, but I judge the person in charge whom I addressed in the past to not let me start educating how to deal with sharks in tricky situations. Mind you, I don't charge anybody and do it for free, so why not allow me to doing it? Anyway, that is another topic for another podcast. So let's go back to this imaginary rescue. So once you make contact, you have to deal with the shark, and it does not matter how tempted you are to approach the victim, deal with the shark until the animal is focusing on you. Once this state is reached, you can start taking care of the victim. Again, and most importantly, rescuing a person with a shark on your trail is a very slow process. Slow and steady is the word while you keep the shark in sight. Should a Zodiac or any other boat be driven out towards the rescuer and his or her victim, then it is paramount that the rescuer is aware where the shark is, and any lifting of the victim out of the water should be done in one quick step. Thus, any thrashing should be avoided. This example of rescuing a person who has been bitten by a shark, with the shark still lingering around when the visibility is low, is probably the worst scenario one could imagine. So, the more important it is to follow rules and guidelines. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet the shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment. And remember, it is a privilege to be among them.